Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Thanks to Paul for leading us our service so far. I know there's been a lot of elements in that first section, and it's good we got to do each one of those. They're important parts of our worship. So thanks to Paul for doing that. Thanks to Hilary for leading us in worship, and for Linda speaking to the children and all of us as well. I think we've all learned our Mr. Men. And even those truths, biblical truths, that we all need to take on to heart. This morning we're continuing our series in the five solas, these solas of the Reformation. We've seen Scripture alone, which means Scripture is supreme. It directs us in all that we are to think and do. Last week we saw by grace alone, that is how we are saved. God's grace alone brings us to salvation. And this morning we're going to consider faith alone. So I want us to read Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 15, God's word says this: "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." And that's God's word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow our heads again and pray. Father, we thank you again that we can just worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask, Lord, that your word will just be supreme this morning, and will direct us on how we are to think about faith and how we are to think of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that faith is a gift from you. Faith is what unites us to Christ so that we can trust him and love him above all things. And we ask this morning, Lord, that those of us who have faith, that we will just rejoice that you have blessed us with it, and we will trust in Christ more and more this week to come. But Lord, for those who are outside of the kingdom, we ask, O God, that you will bring them to yourself. Help them to see that they contribute nothing to their salvation. Instead, they just need to trust Christ and all that he has done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, Job, in Job 9:2, asks this question: how can a person be made right with God? How can a person be made right with God? Job's question is a significant question. In fact, it's one of the most significant questions we can ask in our lives. His question is a universal question. People throughout our entire globe are asking this question. It's a timeless question. People throughout all eternity and generations have been pondering this question. It's a perplexing question because so many answers have been given to this question. Many people stumble along the wrong answer and few discover the right answer. It's a life or death question. Our eternal destiny hinges upon the answer to this question. How can a person be made right with God? I wonder, have you ever asked that question? I wonder, have you ever pondered that question? And have you ever answered that question in your own hearts? How can a person be made right with God? Well, it's the answer to this question that had become obscured in the medieval ages. The Roman Catholic Church taught that you could be made right with God by your own works. They taught that you needed faith. You needed to trust God to save you. But they said that that faith comes alongside your good works, how you live. So by being baptized, by coming to church, by receiving communion, by saying confession of your sin, by reading the Bible, by doing all of these good works, that plus faith saved you. That's how you became right with God. And yet the reformers in the Reformation came along and they unpacked the truth of the Bible. And the message of Scripture was not faith plus works, but it's what we're considering this morning, faith alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this morning as we continue our series in the five solas, we want to think particularly about this sola, faith alone. It means that for salvation, the sinner needs to trust totally on Christ for their salvation. They don't rely on their own works, rather they rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And to do this, I want us to look at Paul's letter to the Galatians. You see, the Galatian church, when Paul was writing to it, had been infiltrated by false teachers. They were being bombarded with a false gospel, and many of them had turned aside to trust this false gospel, turning away from the true gospel of grace. And yet Paul, as a loving, kind pastor, writes to them, urging for them to return to the gospel of grace. In chapter 1 and in the first part of chapter 2, Paul speaks about the authority of the gospel. He says it's not man's gospel. He said it's not invented by man or man's imagination. Rather, it's God's gospel. It comes down from heaven to us, and it's preached by Jesus' apostles, his heralds of the gospel. But now in verses 15 and 16, he begins to lay out the content of the gospel. And as he does so, he immediately speaks about what we read of justification. Three times in these two verses, he speaks about justification. Now, justification is a big word, and yet it's an important word because it's a biblical word. It's a word that refers to God as the judge declaring the sinner as righteous in his sight. It comes from the courtroom analogy. It's the judge declares a person either guilty or innocent based on the evidence. And likewise, in justification, God is not making the sinner righteous. Rather, he's declaring the sinner righteous on the basis of evidence, namely Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's what the word means. It means you are declared a sinner. You are declared righteous, perfect, blameless in God's sight. It's a declaration. Now, Martin Luther, that reformer that we've been thinking about over the past week, said in the Reformation this famous statement. He said, "Justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or upon which it falls." So he's saying there that it's essential for us to grasp what justification by faith is. If we get this wrong, then we get everything wrong. If we here as a church in Gortmern get this doctrine wrong, we go astray in everything. If we as individual Christians get this doctrine wrong, we don't have a gospel, we are not saved, and we do not know the truth. Justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands and falls. In our passage this morning, we see how Paul answers that question. How can a person be made right with God? Or how does God justify sinners? And I want to consider the answer to this question from three viewpoints. Firstly, to state it negatively, you can never be justified because of who you are or what you've done. You can never be justified because of who you are or what you've done. Paul, in those two verses, three times states negatively how we are not justified. Look at verse 16. He says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Paul's emphatic about this. He's saying, no one in all of history across the world has been or will be declared righteous by God because of works of the law. Now, that phrase, works of the law, refers to good works. In the context, in the Galatians, it refers to following the Old Testament law, the ceremonial laws, what you wore coming to worship, what you wore on a daily basis, what you ate in your diet, not McDonald's, not bacon bodies, rather you had to be strict on your diet, not circumcision, not all of these other dietary requirements and commandments of the Mosaic law. People are declared righteous in their own eyes by these things. They're declared in society's eyes by these things, but in God's eyes, no one is declared righteous by works of the law. It's impossible for someone to be justified by works of the law. And yet, unfortunately, this product sells globally. Normally, if a product is rubbish, it does not sell. Just look at The Apprentice on Thursday night if you watch it. Those guys and those girls, they're trying to sell these rubbish products, and they can't. I don't know if it's because they're not good or if they are good, but it's because the product's rubbish. And yet here, this product has a 100% fail rate. It should be off the market, and yet it's the best-selling product across our globe and across time. People everywhere, maybe even here this morning in our congregation, believe that they can be declared righteous in God's eyes by works of the law. If they do the right things and say the right things, then they will be righteous. If they treat all people fairly, if they protect the environment, if they support the right agendas, then they believe that they will be declared righteous in God's eyes. And yet, if that is you this morning, then the Bible says that you're believing a lie. The reason for this false belief is because your view of sin is wrong. People simply view sin as bad choices, as mistakes, and as bad habits. And therefore, they believe that if they are to be accepted before God, they need to fix these bad choices, they need to mend these bad mistakes, they need to cut out those bad habits. And yet the Bible says sin goes much deeper. Sin is not just a bad habit on the surface. Rather, sin is a heart problem. It's a corruption within. Therefore, if we are to be righteous before God, we need to deal with our hearts. We need to change our hearts. But what we do when we believe that we are made righteous before God by works of the law, what we're doing is that we're wallpapering with moral wallpaper over our cracks. Yet the problem still remains. Our unrighteousness is not dealt with. Our corruption remains. And Paul is telling us here in these two verses that no one can ever be justified because of who they are or what they have done. In fact, look at verse 15 with me. He says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners." Paul, writing here with his companions, is saying he's a Jew by birth, not a Gentile and non-Jew. Now, to be a Jew in that society was to be a privileged person, one with many blessings. You had access to the Old Testament. You had the hope of the Messiah, God's chosen ruler to come. You had access, in a sense, to God's promises in the Word, a great history behind you. You had many blessings. But Paul says here, in spite of those many blessings, they are not justified in a different way. They do not have a VIP fast-track lane to justification. Rather, they are justified in the exact same way as Gentile sinners, not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And Gortmer, it's the same this morning. No matter who you are or what privileges you enjoy, there is only one way of justification, and that is through Jesus Christ. Some of you have been blessed by God with many privileges. You've grown up here in the church. You've had Christian grandparents and Christian parents who have taught you the Word of God. You have attended the holiday Bible clubs, the five-day clubs, the Sunday school, the soccer camps, all of the camps you could go to. You have attended them. And yet those things do not make you more acceptable to God. Those things do not give you a fast track lean to God for justification. Instead, there's only one way of justification, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. So first we see negatively, you cannot be justified by who you are or what you have done. But secondly, I want you to notice positively, you can only be justified because of Christ Jesus. You can only be justified because of Jesus. Look at verse 16 with me. Verse 16. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law." So Paul's crystal clear here on this point. He says justification is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. You see, for a person to be in fellowship and relationship with God, they need to be righteous as God is righteous. See, God is light, and what fellowship does light have with darkness? Therefore, the requirement to be in God's presence and to be in a relationship with God is perfection. It's blamelessness. It's sinlessness. And yet, none of us this morning are perfect. We may say we're better than other people. We may look around at our society and say that we're moral and more upright than other people. But none of us, if we are honest, can say that we're totally blameless. We can all say that there's at least one black mark to our names. We all lack perfection, and that means that we're barred from a relationship with God. If we want to dwell with God, we can't look to our internal righteousness. Rather, we need to look to another righteousness, a righteousness outside of ourselves. And Scripture tells us where we are to look. It says we are to look to Christ, who is our righteousness. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, God says, Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." So we have to look outside of ourselves. The Reformer said we need to look for an alien righteousness, not an alien righteousness coming down from heaven like on a UFO and a green terrestrial kind of righteousness. Rather, it's an alien righteousness. It means an external righteousness, a righteousness that we have not created ourselves, but that's been given to us from God. We must look and turn to Christ for righteousness because He is the righteous one. He alone is perfect. He alone is blameless. From His birth in Bethlehem to His death on Calvary's tree, Christ Jesus fully obeyed the Father in all things. See, Jesus has always been righteous. He's the second member of the Trinity. He's the Son of God. He's holy, holy, holy. And therefore, the question arises, why did He come and live for 30 years on this earth and obey every single command of God? Why did He obey His Father, go to the cross, die, be buried, and be raised on the third day? He didn't do that to become righteous because He was righteous. Rather, He did this to provide a righteousness for His people. He lived the perfect life for you if you are in Christ. He died on the cross for you if you're in Christ. He was buried in the grave for you, and He rose from the grave for you if you're in Christ. He done all of this so that our unrighteousness could be removed and His righteousness could be put on us. So our sins, failures, and guilt could be taken away and His perfection bestowed upon us. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God." You see, maybe you've learned justification before. A familiar definition of justification is just if I had never sinned. So justified, just if I had never sinned. And that definition is good, but it's only one part of what justification is. Because that definition says, just if I had never sinned, it means, well, I'm back to neutral. There's no black marks against my name, but that's not totally what justification is. It's part of the coin, but the second part of justification is that we're not just a neutral before God, but we're given perfection before God. We're dressed in Christ's righteousness. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see someone who's neutral, someone who's just forgiven. Instead, He sees someone and He declares us as His own children, as those who are perfect, as those who are righteous, as those who are blameless. He sees us as perfect in His Son. Note that because, Christian, you belong to Christ, God looks at you and He sees His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your mess ups. Instead, He sees Christ in whom He is well pleased. Because of Christ, your status is changed in justification. You're no longer declared a sinner, but you're declared a saint in God's eyes. You're no longer declared unrighteous before the judge, but you're declared fully righteous and fully perfect. Jesus Christ is the only one who can justify us. And yet, did you listen to those words carefully? To be justified by Christ, you must belong to Christ. You must be united to Christ. He must be yours, and you must be Him. John Calvin spoke of the importance of this. He said, as long as Christ remains outside of us, we are separated from Him. All that He has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. So Calvin there saying that staring at Christ is of no value to us. If he is to become our righteousness, and if he is to change our life, we need to be united to him. Last week we thought about that this important doctrine of union with Christ. We need to be connected to Christ, plugged into Christ. We need to be made one with Christ if we are to share all of his blessings. But how does that happen? How is the sinner united to Christ? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he? It's by faith alone. By faith alone. Look at verse 16 again. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in, or as the Greek originally has it, into Jesus Christ. Faith into Jesus Christ. So we also have believed into Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Faith is a gift given by the Spirit of God, which enables us to see Christ as Savior and therefore cry out to him for salvation. Faith is trust, reliance, and confidence in Jesus. Our faith does not save us, because our faith waxes and wanes. If you've been a Christian long enough, you know that. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and your faith in Christ is strong. It's mighty. You're ready to go for the day. But other days you wake up and you're feeling lethargic in the faith and your faith is weak. Christ saves us, but faith is of the utmost importance. It's the instrument by which we take hold and we cling to Christ. Think of a warm bubble bath. You're stinking after a day's work out in the farm and on the tractors. You need your clean, so you run the warm bath, add the bath bomb, but as long as you remain outside of that bath, you're never going to get clean. You need to get into the tub, and the bath will clean you. The bath cleans you, but you must get into the bath. Likewise, for salvation, Christ cleans us from our filth and our sin, but by faith, we get into Christ. We're connected, we're united to Christ. Faith does not save us, Christ saves us, but faith in Christ is essential. Or as Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, illustrated, he said, speaking of two sailors going down a raft heading downstream, and the rapids begin to pull them from their course, and they're heading towards a waterfall. The men on the bank see what's happening and they throw a rope to the sailors. But only one of the sailors grabs the rope. The other man, in the heat of the moment, he sees a sturdy log going floating past him down the stream and he grabs hold of that. And Spurgeon said only one man was saved. The man who clung to the rope. The other man, because he trusted in the log, which couldn't rescue him, was carried downstream over the waterfall to his doom. But the man who clung to the rope was pulled to the shore to safety. Likewise, faith does not save us. Many people have faith. Many people have faith in the wrong places. It's in themselves. It's in other religions. It's in false gods and false ways. But they're not saved. They are not justified. But by faith, the Christian is justified, not because faith saves them, but because faith is the instrument by which they lay hold of Christ, the solid rock. They depend on him alone who can save them. They depend on Jesus who is their justification. And Gordon Murray, that's what the reformers were saying in this doctrine of justification by faith alone. They're saying we're not saved by the strength of our faith mixed with our good works. Instead, we're saved by faith alone, because faith alone grabs hold of Christ who can save us. We fully rely on him. We place our confidence and our reliance on him. So how can a man or a woman be made right with God? Negatively, you can never be justified because of who you are and what you've done. Positively, you can only be justified because of faith in Jesus Christ. But finally, I want us to consider this question personally. Have you been justified? Have you been believed in Christ? Have you put your faith alone in Christ Jesus? You see, there's a world of difference between what Paul says in 16a and 16b. Look at 16a. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So he's saying here, I know the truth. He knows how to be justified. He knows Christ alone is the only one who can justify him. He needs to be united to him. But if that's all that Paul said, a mental assent and awareness of the truth, he would still not be justified. In order to be justified, Paul must make it personal. He must act upon that truth. And that's what he says in verse 16b. Look at verse 16b. He says, so we also have believed in the Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Paul and his companions didn't just hear and assent to the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Instead, they acted upon it. They lived it out. They placed their confidence in Jesus Christ for their justification. And I'm sure all of you this morning know the facts of the gospel. Either because you've grown up in this church or you've went to another church and you've learned the scriptures and you've learned the message of the true gospel. You know the doctrine truth. You can probably tell me clearly this morning what justification by faith alone is. But that's not enough. The demons know this. The devil himself knows this. In fact, he knows it probably more than anyone here knows these doctrines. And yet he is not justified. He is not saved because he will not place his confidence in Christ for salvation. It's not enough simply to know the facts. Instead, you need faith. You need to act upon that truth. You need to cling to Christ. You've probably heard the illustration of the chair. Take this one out here. The chair is put out, and you can walk around the chair and say, this is a sturdy chair. It's got four legs. It's going to hold me. The legs are made of metal. They should definitely hold me. I know I put on some weight since I've been eating all these sandwiches down here. So it might not hold me, but I hope it does hold me. But that's not enough. Instead, faith is going across, and it's sitting down, and it's relaxing. That's that confident relaxation on the chair. Well, that is what faith in Christ is. It's not simply admiring Christ and saying he is a savior of all who come to him. Rather, faith is coming to Christ and putting your trust in him. And therefore, this morning, I want to ask you to your heart, have you been justified by faith in Christ? Have you come and acknowledged him as savior? And put your trust and your confidence alone in him to make you right with God. What are you relying on this morning to make you right with God? Is it your works? Is it the strength of your faith? Or is it Christ and Christ alone because he is the Savior of sinners? If this morning you cannot say that your confidence is in Christ, then I want to call you to come to him and be changed. Come to him and have your status before God changed. Jesus Christ came to this world to work a righteousness for sinners. And he gives it freely to you this morning if you come. Maybe you think that you're too dirty and too messed up to come to Christ. Well, Jesus says, don't be afraid of rejection. All who come to me, I will be by no means cast out. Therefore, come to him and he will accept you as his own. And he will give you himself to you and all that entails. But Christian, if you have been justified by faith in Christ, then you need to remember this daily and live in light of it. See, one of the greatest temptations we face as Christians is the temptation to forget our justification through faith alone in Christ alone. And when we forget this, it brings all sorts of problems to our lives. We said this last week. We can so easily slip into thinking that our performance as Christians makes us acceptable to God. Our daily Bible reading and prayers, our service in church, our strong faith. And yet when these things wax and wane like they so often do, then our assurance of salvation decreases. Why? Because we have forgotten our justification through faith in Christ alone. And yet, when we daily remind ourselves that we're justified through faith in Jesus Christ alone, then our assurance is bolstered, it's strengthened. As I said last week, that's what happened during the Reformation. Before the Reformation, there was no assurance of salvation. Martin Luther, when he was a German monk, he, as we said last week, he worked hard, he confessed all of his sins, and yet he said, I haven't confessed enough. I haven't done enough to make myself acceptable to God. How can I be sure? Does God really love me? But when the reformers recovered the doctrine of justification through faith in Christ alone, assurance was bred. People could know for certain that they were in a relationship with God. Why? Not because they had done enough, but because they believed Christ had done enough. His finished work made them acceptable to God. As Christians, when we forget our justification through faith in Christ, all sorts of problems arise. Despair, discouragement, and guilt plague us. And yet when we daily remember our justification through faith in Christ, we are full of joy, peace, hope, and love. And therefore, Christian, if you've been justified by faith in Christ, daily remember this and live in light of it. This week, remember Christ. Think about Christ, who is your salvation. I'll close with this story. The story is told that one night, Martin Luther dreamt that Satan appeared to him, reading a long scroll with all his many sins from birth. As Satan proceeded down the list, Luther's terrors grew until he finally jumped up out of bed and he cried, "It's all true, Satan, and many more sins have I committed in my life which are known only to God. But right at the bottom of your list, the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin." Then grasping the inkwell on his desk beside his bed, he threw it at the wall and it said, "Satan disappeared." And that's the difference justification through faith in Jesus Christ makes. Gone is our despair, gone is our guilt, but now we have confidence, life, joy, and peace in Christ who is our justification. Do you see the difference there? If you're relying on your own works for your right acceptance before God, then you're going to be walking around this life like Mr. Grumpy. There's no joy in you. I haven't done enough. God doesn't love me. And yet if you have a good day, you're going to be a bit better. But the next day when you fall and mess up again, you're going to be back to the lower level. There's no assurance. But if you're relying on Christ, when your heart condemns you, when the devil condemns you, you can say to the devil, "Yes, devil, it's all true. But the blood of Christ cleanses me from sin. And I trust in his blood. And that is my assurance. That is my confidence before God. Not my standing, not what I have done, but what he has done." And Gordon Murray, that is what faith alone is. That's what the soul of faith alone is. It means to be right with God, the sinner trusts in Christ and his righteousness. And therefore, let us all this morning go from here trusting in him alone for our salvation. Let's bow our head and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning just for your word to our hearts. And we just ask, Lord, that you will remove our guilt, our despair, and our discouragement. And fill us with joy, peace, and blessing as we just put our trust again in Christ. And rely on him alone for our salvation. We thank you that Christ did come to this world, lived that perfect life, died on the cross and rose from the dead just to provide a righteousness for us as your people. And we ask this morning, O God, that we will just love him more and more as we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.